Speaking Freedom presents Speaking Freedom Radio.
This is Speaking Freedom, and we walk the walk.
My mommy, she's my hero. She's the greatest in the whole world.
It's the luck in here, and you're in luck. If you've been hurt, then we'll fix you up. It's okay. Don't be afraid. Casey really knows her stuff.
Providing advanced spiritual studies and personal developmental insight. Brought to you by Love Gang and Speaking Freedom. We thank you and we look forward to helping you grow in all the areas of your life. We hope that you find all the information needed for your growth. God bless. Please listen to all disclaimers provided. If you are currently under physician's care, please maintain that relationship. It's not intended to stop your current treatment plan. If you need physician care, please seek out medical attention. Please note, all results are based on the individual's ability to adapt and adjust to any given environment and situation. We are not responsible for your results at Speaking Freedom. The Life Enhancement Coaches at Speaking Freedom provide information to help you grow. You are responsible for maintaining that growth, taking on and then applying the information to your individual life as you deem needed and necessary. May contain and explain explicit content. Please use parental discretion. For best results, you will need an open mind, the ability to research, and a balanced lifestyle.
Welcome to Speaking Freedom, healing hearts around the world. Please check your baggage and come right along this way.
Oh, you better come prepared. You scared, call the rep.
I think that we should see a therapist.
I mean, black people don't go to therapy.
In regular therapy, there are limitations and things that you have to maintain in order to get your client to the desired outcome and destiny. However, with life coaching, especially with life enhancement coaching, we use the client to develop, to grow, and to bring out the best in themselves. We are simply a tool to help you learn how to make better decisions. Not just one decision, not just today, but for the rest of your life. Encouraging each person through each trial and tribulation.
Seeking freedom. Speaking freedom, giving you the answer to be free, be free, be free, 'cause we're speaking freedom, and we're live, online, with my Casey.
Hey everybody, this is Casey and you just tuned in to Speaking Freedom Radio. I am your host and Life Enhancement Coaching Specialist. As your Life Enhancement Coaching Specialist, what I do is I help you to advance and enhance your life as you deem needed and necessary by the way you apply the information that you receive here today. Now, I do that in various ways for one simple reason, to help people get ahead in life. But sometimes I use social media as a tool to give me the topics to discuss so that it's real life information. And I balance that with the knowledge that I have from my education, my life experience, and my new area of psychology that I'm developing, spiritual human behavior. Now, today we have a guest. We have a guest. We got a. Oh. Monica Bowman. Oh.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
So, if you could please introduce yourself, tell me a little bit about yourself for the listeners to hear.
My name is Monica Bowman. I'm a resident of Dayton, Ohio. I have been working in the social service field for approximately 13 years now. I'm a licensed social worker, and I've worked with all sorts of populations, from people with AIDS and HIV to chemical addiction, children, homeless, all types of populations. I'm a mother of three sons, and right now I'm just on my own personal journey of growth.
Well, I'm so glad to have you here. I wanted you here because, like you said, you are a social worker who have been in the field for 13 plus years. Now, I know I put 7 plus years before and 11 plus, but I just want to give a general understanding that you are seasoned with practicing social work. And today we're going to talk about the state of our culture and how we can grow. Now, you were here not too long ago in Atlanta, and we had this great conversation about developing our society and helping men grow and family units. I mean, we really talked about everything under the sun. But today
right.
I wanted to specifically speak about, like, certain things that we previously discussed. What affects our mindsets, like some of the, not necessarily specifically
right.
your cases or clients, but what we're going to talk about, what do we believe affects the mindset, and like the negative thought process and how we can correct that, and so on and so forth. So what do you think is the biggest challenge that we face? No, I don't want to say just in the Black community, but in our culture as a whole, because
in general,
our culture is kind of, yeah, it's not really just the Black community. It's everything. What affects us the most?
Right. Well, I can only speak from my personal experiences from individuals that I work with and myself, but it seems to be twofold. It seems to be the psychological conditioning that is institutionalized in our ideologies, and also the fact that we bought into the psychological conditioning. So it's twofold, you know, our own beliefs and the beliefs that have been taught to us, if that makes sense.
So I think that my personal opinion is, like, you know, I don't think that we really know what to believe outside of what we've been taught to believe. And because we don't have a basis for what to believe, you know, like what existed prior to what we've been taught, it's hard to grasp, one, our potential, where we could go, and all of those type of things. So when you say, if you would say, I know we were talking about how sometimes people have a negative undertone with any thought process. Is there one thing that you would say can contribute to that and to the growth of that?
I think it's just kind of what you're exposed to answer that question. Just exposure really equates how we see the world, because, you know, we see the world as we are and not actually how it is. So if we are constantly bombarded with a whole bunch of negativity, that tends to be what we see. And going back to what you had made the comment about, we only know what we are taught, I'm very spiritual, and so working with people and then living my life, I kind of come to the conclusion that we know things that we are not taught, meaning we know things beyond that has been shown to us and beyond what has been taught to us, and that is on the spiritual level. And I feel like sometimes what we are taught by man comes in conflict with what we have already been equipped with spiritually. So even though we may only be able to manifest or tap into the conscious understanding of what somebody has already taught us, I believe that we also carry subconscious knowledge, or knowledge that we also could tap into that has not been taught to us by man, if that makes sense.
It definitely does. I was in the shower earlier, and in the course of that time, I actually was thinking about perspective. And when I look at my life, I feel like I'm doing better than I started, but I'm not where I want to be, so it feels to me like I'm
Absolutely.
Still at the bottom.
Right.
But somebody else from where I used to be would look and say, well, man, you know what I'm saying? That's where I'm trying to get to. And it's really
right.
based on perspective, because for me, it's like, man, I ain't where I want to be either. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know if we get to where we want to be by having people to aspire to be by, or by setting our own focus and goals, because everybody, happiness is different. So
absolutely.
What may make somebody happy up under one certain circumstances may not make another person happy in that same thing. So it's like, you know, trying to grasp the perspective of what you're exposed to, what you aspire to be, influences what you're going to expose yourself to. So
right.
Trying to get people to aspire to be more or do better or just broaden their horizons a little bit.
As well.
Right. It's very difficult,
right.
though, because a lot of people aren't open to anything different.
What I aspire to personally and what I try to help others aspire to, because like you said, it's perspective, so it's only my own perspective, is peace. And I know that sounds like, you know, some type of just blanket answer, but it's really difficult. It's more easier than said than done to really live and exist in peace. Because I feel that my true measure, or from my perspective, my true measure of success is the way you touch others. So if I'm a peaceful person and I preach peace and if I live peace, then I will touch others in a way that enables more peace. You know what I mean? And that is my main perspective. So when I meet with clients or help my clients, whatever way in their life I can help them come to a realization to understand their personal peace is how I like to think to what is better or what is good, you know, which is still, like you said, it's all subjective. So, but that's my understanding and my definition of what is good or what is, you know, quote unquote, better, so to speak, which I don't even subscribe to good or better, you know, because that's
I mean,
all
like,
subjective,
no,
but.
Because when you talk about material things, it is a matter of what gives you peace, because you can have everything in the world and not have a lick of peace, you know what I'm saying, at all, or just be discontent and still not be soulfully satisfied.
You know what? I'm gonna stop. I got a question. I got a question for you, because this is something I've been wondering myself, and I have not yet to find any type of conclusion or answer. But let me just get your opinion. So, like you just said about materialistic things, and you can still have all the materialistic things in the world and still not have an inner peace. Do you think that some people's, calling is materialism or money? Because I know for me personally, like, that is not me. Like, I can't, like, money and materialism is not my thing. That is not what brings me peace. So, but I look at other people that have money and materialistic things, and they seem to be peaceful. So do you think that some people's peace could just be different? You understand what I'm trying to say? Like,
if you want to really, really, as a life enhancement coaching specialist and doing what I do with Speaking Freedom, I encounter a lot of people that have a lot of things, but they can't make peace with their souls. They can't make peace with their past. They can't face their past. They can't deal with themselves in the rawest nature in order to heal and grow. A lot of people tend to use coping mechanisms and Band-Aids and spiritual human behavior. A portion of that is called the Band-Aid effect, and that's just where people put stuff on in order to not feel. Now, putting stuff on does not necessarily mean clothes, or, you know what I'm saying, like, it could
right,
be
I know, yeah.
putting too much God on it, you know what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
and not taking
mm-hmm.
enough responsibility for yourself, because a lot of people, and I used to do it when I was deep in churches, you know, it's a religious cult type of thing, to be completely honest, because you're like, okay, well, God is just going to wash away all my problems. I'm just going to pray, and he's just going to make it better. Just forget the past. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's like, okay, you need to heal from the past, not just
right.
try to push the past out of your mindset as though it doesn't exist. And that's where I believe a lot of people in our culture especially are stuck in a place where there was a time and period, especially for African-American people, that they were not allowed to address issues. They were not allowed to. They weren't privileged enough to say anything, do anything, be anybody but somebody's slave. They couldn't stand up for themselves. They couldn't stand up for their families. They couldn't do all these things. And we are kind of stay stuck in that warped mindset.
Right.
And instead of addressing things, we get things. Instead of dressing things, we do things so that we don't have to address the real issue. It's almost like earlier I was telling you about I was doing the stuff on my face. Instead of me going to get some type of cosmetic treatment in order to fix my face, I want to figure out what the real problem is that's causing my face or my hormones to make these different changes.
That a person who's driven by the love of money cannot be fulfilled if that is what their fulfillment is. You understand what I'm saying? Like, say if my
money doesn't really exist.
I don't think so either. I agree with you. I just wonder.
It's not a tangible thing for real. It's something that was created.
But some people would disagree.
It's no different. It's no different than Monopoly money. And then we just took the Monopoly dollars and said, okay, now this means something. We're going to give this real tenure in our society. And then we give that real tenure in our society to the point to where, I mean, it's funding things, but because it's an IOU, basically. You know, like, you're going to give me that, and I'm going to give you this. And these IOUs would be good wherever you go type of feel.
So people can see,
when you come out the womb, you're not attached to money. You're attached to human feeling. You're attached to the emotion behind human feeling. Like, the human process has nothing to do with money. That is something that you learn as you get older.
Right. Okay.
Which goes back to whatever you're exposed to. No, that's what it goes back to. Whatever you're exposed to is what you're going to, you know what I'm saying, lean to.
Absolutely, absolutely. And also, like, on a spiritual sense, it depends on, you know, what service, which you want to serve and which you want to bring into the world. So that was just something that I was curious about, watching people around me trying to get different perspectives about how some people are driven by the acquiring of materialistic things and money. And I was talking to a friend of mine, when you
get those things, does the feeling last? Does the product or the materialistic product, the thing doesn't even last, let alone, you know what I'm saying, the feeling that I got this Nintendo. And let me tell you, when I first got it and I was, running around the house, Zelda. I turned on Zelda and I'm trying to figure out what in the world. The map thing ain't even no map at the top. It's just a gray thing to show you on the map, this little gray little plant. It don't tell you where you're going. None of that. It's just going and trying to kill when I started playing it, it was, the excitement is still there to try to figure it out, just because, you know, I grew up to it. But the reality of it was like, bruh, what am I doing? Like, where am I trying to go? It didn't give me no instructions. It just gave me a sword and told me to go.
Hey, okay, and that kind of brings us back to the topic we were talking about when you first opened up about how some of our cultural, you know, norms or whatever type of cultural customs that we have could be addressed. And I think one of the things is materialism, because we base a lot of success and happiness on economic status. And
you're talking about a whole lot of people that grew up poor. We grew up poor, and every time we get an advantage, they change the rules to the society and the how things go. When they was coming up, they had credit. They was doing all that, and then they was doing bankruptcy. We get credit. They change the bankruptcy rule.
Right. That's what I was about to say. Like, that's one of the tools that are used to maintain, oppression.
It's more of they've sold us this mainstream thing and this American dream that never really existed, that is really just something that they just building as we go. Like, when I went to the United States Capitol, and I posted this on Facebook the other day, and the intro video at the end says, This whole thing was an experiment. once I heard that 2 years ago, it kind of changed how I look at everything, because I had already figured, like, with words like damn, shit, you know, bitch, the words that are deemed to be bad, who said they were bad? Who gave them their definition? It's a lot of things that we define ourselves, and then we deem it something that we can say whether or not it's good or bad just because, you know,
right.
like, we're making all this
right.
up as we go. We are creating
right.
it as we go, and we need to be more involved in what's being created.
Absolutely, I agree. And it's really the energy behind the words, or the intent of the word when you say it. Because
yeah.
you can say the sweetest thing, and it could be detrimental. You know what I mean?
And
so it's
something
really
that really is a fucked up vow,
exactly.
nasty, gutter vow. Like, I can't believe you just said that and made it sound so nice. You know, like.
Exactly. So it's really about the spirit behind it all. So I definitely totally agree.
What is your take on the same subject you just asked me? Like, what is your feel for that? I mean, does in your field where you are working in today, is that a huge problem?
Materialism or just the whole
the speaking of it,
poverty in general. So I feel like it's a huge problem because that is what is being withheld. So I work with, most of my people are, you know, from poverty or not too far over the poverty line.
Mm-hmm.
So what I see is a lot of depression and other mental health issues
based off of
the withholding of crucial resources. And it's not even resources to the point where, you know, I don't have any food, which some of them don't, but it's just the belief of not being able to attain a comfortable, quote-unquote, lifestyle. You see what I'm saying? So I don't want to say that. I'm not saying that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that mental health is caused
by. Which part do you think is holding back society or our culture? The poverty, the misinformation about poverty,
I think
the lack
it's all
of poverty,
doesn't have to be mutually exclusive to the other. I think it's all is the whole, is all encompassing. Everything that you just named under the sun, all of those play a part in the psychological issues that we face as a culture. At least that I see that I work with, the clients that I work with face. It's all of it. It's the institutionalized racism. It's institutionalized discrimination. It's all of those things are institutionalized in the very system, embedded into the very system of the society that we operate in, that we call America. At least from my perspective.
Correct.
That's what I see every day. You know, somebody else probably sees something totally different. But that's not. we talking about a social worker that's been doing this for a lot of years. And I've seen a lot of human suffering.
So what do
so
you
I'm
think
sure that
would be an immediate? What do you think could have immediate impact on the suffering, in terms of how you witnessed?
I think what you do is something that could have an immediate impact when you say speaking freedom. Because when you really get a person to the point where they understand that everything that you believe and everything that's been taught to you that you've been trained to believe can be reevaluated.
You've been trained to believe it.
What? That's too strong of language. I shouldn't say that.
That's 100,000% accurate. That's the problem. It's accurate.
So I feel like that is one of the main combatants that we can use, is to speak freedom to people. And because once you realize, hey, I have power, you know what I mean? Hey, I
mm-hmm.
this they made this shit up. Why can't I make some shit up? You know what I'm saying? Once you really
realize
who you are and the importance that you play in this whole system. Exactly. I think so. Yeah, I think what you're doing is something that is very instrumental to combating all of those things. Just, and it says it so eloquently, speaking freedom. Because, I mean, you can't get no simpler than that, because that's really what it's about, understanding
who you are and being free to make your own, you know, connections, decisions, and choices.
See, but I think that one of the biggest things we have to do is we have to help people understand it's so much, because you can't strip everyone of everything that is needed to be sustained in this society as it stands.
Absolutely.
Today. It's something that honestly, you don't really have to strip a lot of things. It just needs to be a little bit more balanced, needs to be inserted in a lot of places. I feel like
that's when the person's natural defense mechanisms probably would kick in. Because if you speak to freedom, they defense mechanisms away what is detrimental to let go and what is detrimental to keep.
If you just start by simply restoring truth, as simple as Columbus Day ain't real because he ain't discovered nothing. People
right.
was already here. How you discover what's already existed? You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
If you begin to bust those truth bubbles, if you begin to, like, the things that were most, like, wow to me were that witch hunts really happened. Like, that was like, oh, my God. I just thought that was some stuff, you know what I'm saying, some fairy tale mojo that I had heard.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But if you begin to illustrate, because right now, and I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyways, when I think about chemists and pharmaceuticals and all of those things, I immediately think about witch potions and
wasn't
and
alchemy
and
back in the day? Is that what it was called? No, that was the mixing of metals. Never mind, go ahead.
So those are the first things that come to mind, like how you take one thing and you make it look bad in one way, but then you flip it and now it's good over in this other way, but it's still the same. It's the exact same thing. So what I see is a lot of duplicating something that already exists into something that really isn't, but you make it be what it really, you know what I'm saying, what you want
right,
it to be.
Right, I agree. I think what makes the difference is who uses it at the time for whose power. I think that's what really
right.
makes the difference. If they're using it for their own gain, then it's okay. If somebody else is using it for their own gain, then we have an issue, if that makes sense.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's the thing, though. The people that are in control don't want to lose control.
Right.
While on my end, it's not about losing control, because eventually it's 2018. Slavery has been over for approximately 40, 50 years. Let's say 60, 70 years. Even like at 100 years post-slavery, about 20, 25, it's going to be a lot more changes, because every year more people are becoming aware of who they are, the power they truly possess, and the ability to use their voice to a greater cause.
Absolutely. I agree.
So I think that a lot of it is, you know, getting into communities and not even, you know, because I don't think that you have to do anything aggressive in order to get people to grow, to want to grow, to do better, to want to do better, to see better, to want to see better, aside from allowing them to see where they aren't happy. If you can show, even if you can show, if I can show a wealthy person that they aren't in, not show them that they aren't happy, allow them to identify the areas in which they think that they should grow, they could grow or become better, then overall it is a service to them that will leave a lasting impression. That is what changes the patterns of people's behavior.
Right, I agree. And then back to what you were saying about stripping things and about, you know, busting truth bubbles and things like that. And I've always seen that when I'm working with a certain population, before I try to enact any type of change of behavior, I always come from a place of compassion and try to build the person first.
Right.
And that way, when they step out on the new, you know, the new ground or the new type of truth, they have a solid foundation so they can handle the truth. So I know that's, I've learned that that's important too, just to really get that person, that individual built up to handle the change
so
in the dynamics
what is,
of their
what,
thought process.
What have you experienced to be the greatest challenge in an individual growth and change? Like, what is your, what's the greatest apprehension or difficulty?
Fear of unknown.
So how do you get them to address that fear? How have you done it thus far, and how do you feel like you've been successful?
Practice. It depends on who you ask if I've been successful or not.
I mean, not successful.
Have I been effective?
Have I been effective? Have you seen people? You know what I'm saying? Everybody is not willing to change. Everybody is not eager to say, you know what, I want better for myself. And the thing is, it's better in every single area. It's not like just in this area or just in that area. Like, I'm talking about, like, your romantic life should be better. Your relationship should be better. Your money gets better. Your living situation gets better. Like, everything eventually grows if we address the root of the issues.
Absolutely. And when I get, before we even get that far, most of my people that I work with, they're coming to me in some sort of pain. So before I even get to the understanding of I want to have, you know, better finances or a better love life, I just need you to help me stop being in pain. And
so,
then we can go
you,
from
they,
there.
Like physical pain or like emotional trauma?
All of the above. All of the above. Physical trauma, emotional trauma that causes physical trauma that causes emotional trauma.
It's crazy because everything that one person experienced, it may not go on in every single household, but it's so common that it's normalized so that even when you do address things, like, when you talk about truth, you got to talk about being able to be truthful with yourself, being able to be truthful with your parents, with your family, you know what I'm saying, like with your environment, with your mentality, with your, you know what I'm saying, like, because in so many cases, especially in the Black community, especially in minority communities where we are so busy trying to look good and impress, we can't even tell people that we need help or that we're struggling with something because you don't want to be judged. And if you don't want to be judged, then, you know what I'm saying, it's fear of what somebody is going to perceive. And they may not even look at you crazy or feel no type of way, but if you feel like they might, then you're going, you know what I'm saying, act differently.
And that's where the whole building of self and building of others comes in at, because if they have a good, solid foundation of who they are, then they'll be okay asking for help moving forward. Or at least a little less apprehensive. Not, I wouldn't say okay, but at least a little less apprehensive. And to answer the question earlier about how do I enact some type of change, like you were saying, I don't really enact anything. I just give the person the tools to enact their own change. Repetition and reiterating that a change has occurred has been very successful for me. So when I give you this, when I teach you this skill and you use the skill and then you come back and say this skill has worked, that eases a little bit of your apprehension to change. Because, okay, so I changed, I did this, and it worked, and I feel okay about this change. And just that alone, repeating that, has done wonders for changing behaviors in people. There's a lot more to than that, but just a blanket and a simple explanation, that would be my best blanket simple explanation.
What is the time frame that you believe it takes to begin to see the change, not just in your clients, in the community in general? Like, do you think that, how far out do you project that maybe we will begin to see changes, or what changes could impact things differently, more on one end versus another?
I'm not sure if I would have an answer to that as far as time frame, because there's too many factors that goes into enacting change on the individual micro level, like far as me and a client, it goes to how I interact with that client, how that client interacts with me. On the meso level, it goes to how many people would like change and how many people are fighting for change. On the macro level, it goes to how many forces or how many institutions are opposed to the change or you know, or working towards the change. So I don't really know if I have a good answer for you, Casey. I don't think I have a time frame on change.
I mean, you know, yeah. Okay, so in general, the core program is based on a certain number of months or because what I do is my goal is to get you in, get you out, never have to see you again in the same capacity that I've seen you before. While
right.
in more structured programs, the goal may not be to keep you coming, but most are especially private practices.
Oh, you
practices
can say it. Go ahead, say it.
Need.
Call you ain't worried about my
in private practices, the goal is to keep a client. So do you think that method is effective, or what do you, on a large scale, what do you think could help society on a more professional, on the professional side of things?
I've seen, okay, so this is what my experience has been. I feel like client-centeredness and client services has been overshadowed by capitalism and monetary gain. Now, yes, it is a business, so it does have to maintain itself. And so within that, we have the workers that are stuck in a cycle of trying to satisfy capitalism while still meeting the needs of the individual. And that burden falls completely on the worker. And I may be biased because I'm a worker, so it may fall other places, but right now all I see is what's falling on me. You know what I mean? So it may not be totally accurate, but all I see is a burden falling on the worker. So the what makes the system ineffective is not necessarily the practices or the ideologies or the theoretical frameworks that a work like a social worker or a therapist or a psychologist or a psychiatrist works under. It is the system of capitalism, which is not built on individual.
The basis of healing.
Yes, not at all.
Okay,
so it's the balancing of those two things.
Let me ask you this question: if by chance, if you were in a position of leadership today, and you could affect the world in a major way, what would be the first change that you would try to implement, and how would you go about it?
I mean, we talking about, like, magical change, like I got a magic wand change.
I mean,
or...
I'm talking about realistically.
Wave my wand, everybody love everybody. The social worker answers, everybody just love everybody. That's...
I mean, if it was that easy, I would wild out myself right now.
Exactly.
Like, come
we talking about
bae,
magic wand change.
I would wild out bae right here, a couple good friends right here. We'd be shooting pool. We got the DJ in the corner, the backyard lit up and fully decorated. Like,
just
what?
Every day,
like,
though.
We
every day, though.
No, right. No,
I would start with if I had to see, okay, so you're saying if I could act some type of change, if I was an actual leader.
Like right now, if you had, if this is going to be pressure. It's going to be heavy pressure. If President Obama was able to tune in right now and say, Monica,
what the Obama voice? But does the president really
Monica?
Have power to change things, though? But go ahead.
Sometimes influence is better than the ability to actually put it in and it be on you.
I agree.
So, but right. Again, if former President Barack Obama was on the line right now and he said, Monica, This is my President Obama voice. Monica,
I want to know.
Okay.
How could you, how would you want to influence the world?
What would your response be? What would you see yourself doing?
I could say the reason why I say that.
What would you want to implement in order to make some changes happen in the world? You can answer that?
I can honestly tell you that I would not have an answer at this moment because it would take more information and more knowledge from different levels and different perspectives for me to feel secure in moving forward in some type of big implementation. And I know that sounds like a political answer.
No, because my next question would be, in your line of service, and I know that right now you're studying to try to get into law school, I want to know, like, what information, well, once you get finished with your LSAT and all that, what type of information do you plan on taking in order to be able to project something like that? Because literally, if you were on the phone right now with the biggest influencer in the world and I was trying to get you to help me implement some type of changes, I would need you to have the knowledge and the, you know what I'm saying? Not saying that you don't have the knowledge to do so, but I want you to have the confidence in what you know.
Well, see,
in order
why I say that is because I don't know the other side. All I know is my side. And for me to go forward for an actual decision, I need both sides. Like, I don't know what the people who make the laws and the people who are in control of this country and the people who have the most wealth in this country, I don't know their side. You know what I'm saying? I can only speak to enact change from my perspective. And so, you know what I'm saying? Maybe, who's to say, maybe from their perspective, what they do is the best way to go about doing what they do. You know what I'm saying? I don't know
right.
that. So I'm not saying I'm not confident in what I would like to change.
I need you to speak from the side that you know and that you're familiar
with. Well, that's
with
only one sided, though.
Because it's from a professional opinion, and it's from from trial and error and experience with people, you give the voice to the people. So based on the people that you've encountered and your experience, then I would hope that you would be able to say, you know what, based on the things that I've seen around where I'm at, these are the things that are probably impacting the community or communities like this large spread. Because honestly, more times than not, the things that you see are the same exact identical things that are being seen all over, but nobody is on a large enough scale to converse about it, to combat
if I was on the other end mm-hmm. of the spectrum, you know, powerful with money, What would I be fixing? Would I still want to fix these things? That's just a question. You know what I mean? Like, is this really?
I mean,
like, so
if you have a soul,
is it? Right. But I'm saying, but what if who's to say that if I don't get there, I would still have one. But that's neither here nor there. But what I'm saying, I mean, I could say education reform. You know what I'm saying? And then like all types of things that I see that's going on.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Since you just said that, do you believe that that our mindset changes with money? Because you just spoke of the influence that materialism and things have on people. Now my question to you is,
I believe I would have a different perspective if I had money.
What type of money would give you a different perspective?
Where I don't have to worry about money, not even a whole lot of it. You know what I'm saying?
If you're not struggling to.
Yeah,
to
just
live.
Not even just like money is not in my preview at all. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got to worry about money. Money is just abundant money. You know what I'm saying? I honestly believe that I would have a different perspective on life in general.
So what's the difference between that and what we spoke about
earlier in regards to poverty? Like that. Say that again.
No, because I'm talking. What would be the difference between what we spoke about earlier, as far as finances and money versus what you're saying now. Like, if you had different money, then you would have a different perspective. Because
I wouldn't see it, me personally. And I know that to say personally because when I'm places surrounded by comfort and money, I don't see it. So it's like I wouldn't be in the struggle. I wouldn't see the fight. I wouldn't see it. And I'm not saying everybody's like that, but I know for me personally, I can tell you I'm almost 80% sure that if I had a whole bunch of money, I would not be worried about individuals suffering and struggling because I wouldn't see it. You know what I'm saying? I would be living my best life, doing what I want to do.
I mean, it doesn't.
I wouldn't
having,
see it.
Having finances, it doesn't disconnect you from the struggle.
I
totally.
Said it with me. I would say it with me. I'm not saying it about everybody else.
I mean, no,
I'm just telling you
how
I would
does that
feel.
Disconnect you with the struggle because you still see people, have family members. You can't save everybody. You can't rescue everybody financially. So you still will encounter people and have connections with people that are not financially where you are all the time. Like, just because your money goes up does not always mean that the now your surroundings do change somewhat. The type of people you have around you does change somewhat.
It do.
But I can't see, even now for myself,
it'd
I
be
can't
a difference
see.
Between a woman crying in my office and me saying, and me empathizing with her and understanding her struggle versus me looking at her saying, I just, you know, I don't even understand your struggle. Like, I don't have no understanding of your struggle. I mean, I think that's the difference. Like, that makes all the difference for me because I'm able to empathize and I'm still in the struggle and this is my world versus if I was not of it.
No, I'm not. We're not talking about, this is not a hypothetical if I had grew up rich type of thing. I'm talking about, like, if money, how much money right now could you get? Do you think that it would change the way you see things now? Like, not if you grew up with money.
No,
like,
I'm not even talking about hypothetically. I'm talking about now as I have progressed through my my life. When I started
off, God laid $1 million on you tomorrow, how would it affect the way that you see the world?
To me right now, it would not. But what I'm saying is, as I progressed in my profession, in my life, and I lived and I moved from the projects to a house, to a better house, you know what I'm saying, to one degree, to another degree, even myself, I have been removed from certain struggles. You know what I mean? So even just in my own life, I see how the progression of, quote-unquote, success or money has removed me from the struggle. That's what I'm trying to get at. So it's not as in my face, if that makes sense. I don't live it every day like I used to.
But does remembering it that help you to understand the people and have compassion with people that are still there?
Absolutely. But I'm saying if I didn't have that struggle, I don't think I would be able to connect on that level.
Okay. So what other things do you think we could do to affect the mindset? Like, how do you feel about minimum wage? Do you think that is something that blocks the culture? Or how does the workforce block the culture? In my opinion, I think that the workforce is no different than it was when slaves were slaves. I think we just called it something different now. It's for more people's use now, but the culture is still the same.
I agree. You're still using your time, breath, and effort to benefit somebody else's growth. So, yeah, I agree.
So do you think that, how do you think that it would be beneficial to change and reroute the thinking about that? Because a lot of people think that if you don't have a job, then, you know what I'm saying, you're nothing. Like, and that has now been ingrained in so many people. Not that you're not doing anything productive, but that if you're not working for somebody, if you haven't went and got a job
for right,
somebody,
absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
or
and
right.
I'm not sure where this mentality has been. Well, I do know where it's been adapted from, because then you had to earn your way to be respected in society. You didn't have respect as a minority unless you were working for somebody and, you know what I'm saying, making, showing yourself approved based on what they say that you should be.
I think if we can push entrepreneurship onto our children and their children, I think that we would be able to kind of break that cycle a little bit, or at least, and I keep going back to this because it always starts back with the development of the person, because when you are working for someone else, you know what I'm saying, like you're saying, like the slave mentality type thing, and you don't see, like, I'm not capable or I don't have or I'm not exposed to the understanding of entrepreneurship, you don't think that it's possible. And I think it also goes back to the special talents and the gifts that you're given by God to do whatever he wants you to do with those gifts and talents. So, you know what I'm saying, it's not really about working for whoever to make money. It's about what you were supposed to do here in this world. And I think entrepreneurship really speaks to a lot of that.
So would you say entrepreneurship over purposefulness? Because you can be an entrepreneur. Anybody. I mean, I'm not saying that we can't, but I don't know if you have a lot of people that's starting businesses now just to get money. So to start a boutique just because it's popping, or to start selling hair and it has no purpose feel behind it, and you're not using your gifts, talents, or skills, it's entrepreneurship. Yeah, you're working for yourself, but what are you building for yourself? Like, what are you building within yourself? It's so crazy because the other day I was looking at two things. I was thinking about the difference between the house nigga mindset versus the field nigga mindset. Like, the house nigga mindset, that the field nigga wasn't necessarily mad because the house nigga was in the house. It was the way he changed once he got in the house.
When he got in the house.
Right. It wasn't the fact that he was in the house. Like, nigga, go be great inside. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can help look out.
That,
but it's the mindset that once you get inside, now you flip sides, and now you don't even, you know what I'm saying? Like, you
right.
forget where you came from type thing.
Right.
Like, and I think that's
what I was
house.
Telling you about the whole moving up and forgetting where you came from. But go ahead.
I mean, no, like, it's beyond just the material things, though. It's beyond, and when I'm saying it now,
absolutely,
it, before it was like, okay, well, if you just get money, because people get money and their mindset is still the damn same. You know what I'm saying? People
right.
be
no,
millionaires and they still, and I'm not talking about like they still eat noodles or they still do, you know what
right.
I'm saying, little shit.
No,
that,
it's
the indoctrinated
belief
like.
That this equals better. That's what
right.
I was getting at.
Right. But people even think, okay, now I got this and I'm better, and they still. You know what I'm saying? They still.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can have $1 million and still want to do a crime because in your mind isn't purposeful enough to say, you know what, I'm doing this, let's do this, 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 and that, let's do, you know what I'm saying, change this, 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 and that, and they're still perpetuating the same exact lifestyle, but with money.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Mm-hmm.
So it's so what do we do to help, for Speaking Freedom, you know, we're building the spiritual human behavior and the courses and all of those things to try to help you give more balance. But from your perspective, which is why you're here.
Yay. I didn't realize I had a perspective until you told me I had one. Like,
Your perspective is very valuable because you are a worker with the people. You serve the people hand to hand as your profession. That's your career.
Right. It's more than that, really. It's who I am. And people say that's so cheesy, but you can't be a social worker working the job. You will get burnt out. I've been doing this for a lot of years, and you have to be, like, I am a social worker. You know what I mean?
You could tell the difference between somebody that's called or have a real gift in helping people versus people that take jobs and then they're frustrated and they treat people bad.
Right.
They're talking to them all wrong. You know what I'm saying? They got
all these other things going on.
Like, they ain't happy at home and they bring their not happiness to their social work life because they don't know how to obtain peace. But most people take on too much of the world outside of them instead of emerging into who they really are. So, like, when I think about, because one of the things that I kind of used to do, and I don't anymore, I used to watch TV and I used to do, like just say little stuff when I noticed little stuff when I used to watch reality shows. And today, and for the last 4 years since I've been working on building up Speaking Freedom and learning my gift and all those things, I have really been considering going to a place where I go and I, instead of judging them, and because this is I'm not sure how familiar you are with social media. I know you don't have a lot of social media going on in your life, but actively there are people that get on and watch these shows and then they commentate the show in various different ways. And one of the things that I wanted to do, or I think about doing sometimes, is really doing it from a let me help you grow perspective. You know what I'm saying? Let me help you learn how to make better decisions perspective. But I just don't want to take on that energy to that overwhelming level. But I think that it would be good to have somebody that's watching shows and saying, you know what? Let's look at it not from the petty side, not from let's grill what they got on, not all this other extracurricular stuff, but, hey, if I was your life coach, this is what I would tell you to do type of feel. So that's what I've been thinking about doing lately. I just don't know if I want to take on that burden because that means I have to watch a lot of
reality TV. Doing
it
through social media, you saying? Like watching it and then commenting from that perspective? That's what you're saying?
Uh-huh. Okay, so
I think that would be very beneficial because that would help it would force people to look at their perspective and maybe change it.
Yeah. So
you should go for it. Like, didn't I just tell you? I don't know if I was trying to take off.
Like, I don't know because, you know, like, it'd be like having, doing what you do, but on a very public, large scale. I mean, and I do that kind of. I just don't do it in the sense of let me watch this show and see what they got going on in their life and tell them how to fix it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not Iyanna fix my life from my couch, but I could be. I just don't know if I want to take on that because that means I have to consume a lot of things that could consume
that
me.
That you don't
and
know.
A lot
yeah.
of people. Right, and a lot of people consume those things so much that becomes the reality or the drama that they seek in their own lives. And I don't want to never seek that type of drama. I like peace.
Well, I think that if you ever move forward with it, coming from a perspective of somebody who's been taking on people's messes for a lot of years, I shouldn't say messes because that's not doing justice to my people. I love my people. That's been taking on people's issues for a lot of years. I would say that to prepare for that, open a space for it. You know what I mean by that? Like, if you're going to take on that, you have to have something else empty.
Right.
To open space
I don't have any drama
dollars.
In my life. I kind of have space for some drama. I just don't want any.
Okay. Who won't drama? I said who won't drama, but now I'm thinking about people do.
No, no.
And
no
I don't even
come
know,
on
you
now.
Know what?
There's a lot
know.
Of people that's like,
I don't even know if they want it. I just think that they're so comfortable in it that they don't know how to react to change. Because change is difficult. Change is very uncomfortable. Like, I know over the years this is going to sound terrible. I hope I don't get in any trouble by saying this. But coming from a drug therapist standpoint, one thing that I have, a question that I asked myself early in my career when I was working with people with addicted to drugs was, is this really better for this person to quit? in the certain circumstances. And I know that sounds crazy because everybody's like, oh, let them be. They need to be up there. They need to be off drugs. But sometimes if you take away
I mean, it depends on what type of drugs they are, the reason why they own drugs. Like,
absolutely. So you got to equate all that into the thing.
What the real problem is, I think, with the drug community, and you can chime in or correct me or stop me, is that
you mean other than the fact people like getting high? I'm just playing.
I mean, getting high wouldn't be a problem if they wasn't trying to get so high that they couldn't remember what's really going on in their life. You know
absolutely.
What I'm saying? Like,
absolutely.
If you were, if it was like, okay, I'm just, you know what I'm saying, having a little bit of fun versus I'm trying to drink to comatose myself away from what's really
right.
going on. I mean, people run to the club
right.
instead of running to home. Like, people,
like
and maybe it's because they couldn't go anywhere when they were young. Like, you know, like, different things make people act different way when they grow up.
And you know what? And that's something that I also learned or came to the conclusion of with my own life. I always talk a lot about God because I love God and I'm very spiritual. So it seems to me, working in these populations and all of the things that I've worked with and learned, it sometimes seems to me that when people, like you said, drink to become comatose and all those things, they're really searching for peace. Like, they are really just searching. I know that sounds simple.
Before they want every. And I can see that.
And that's what they're searching for. But without having to do the work to obtain it. So
right.
I want to be at
the work is the hard part because
exactly.
let me tell you
exactly.
something. Even when people get to doing when people are wanting to do vision boards and they start doing vision boards and I'm like, hold on now, like this is kind of magical if you do this. So if you're going to do this,
now what's
then
a vision
you have
board?
To be,
did you is that something you could say on the radio or
a vision board? Okay,
yeah,
so I have a whole show that's about it. I want to get this board so I can show you. Everybody, we're video chatting while we're doing this. So she sees me and I see her and she's in Ohio and I'm in Atlanta. But I don't think I have them downstairs. I have to go back and get. When we get finished, when we wrap the show up, which won't be much longer, I don't think, and before you get back to studying for your LSAT, I'm going to show you the vision board. So a vision board is very, it's like a collage of things that you would want to happen for yourself. My vision board, I have
two. Okay.
It's the law of attraction, basically. My vision board, I have two vision boards. The first one I made in 2012, I want to say. And then the second one I made in 2013 before Speaking Freedom officially launched in 2014. And it's just a lot of things that I prayed, meditated, and really took time to myself so that I can come up with what I believe was you know, God-inspired about what would happen for my future. And literally, things in my life started changing. And when I look at this board, I can see the synchronology and the alignment in my life that matches up with this board. And people do these boards, some of them very superficial, others not so much. But and I be trying to tell people, like, hey, now when you do this, you need to know that your life can really begin to have changes. And a lot of people don't know. And then when stuff start going differently than what they wanted or what they thought that it should go, then they looking confused. And I'm like, didn't I tell you?
Yeah. We have goal boards. We call them goal boards. That's why I was confused.
Oh, so it's
yeah,
probably the same thing. Yeah. It's probably
yeah.
the same thing, but yeah, child. I'm trying
so
to figure out.
So is this something you do with every client, or
that is something that I encourage greatly with every client. I don't really force people to do any particular thing one way or another, but it's something that I definitely, once we get the school started, it's a lot of things that I'm going to implement, and those are some of the things that are going to be requirements in order to move forward and a part of the curriculum to help build people up and to help people get their minds and perspective to where they really want to go, so that they don't have this glass ceiling. It's something that's not really there, but they're putting limits on themselves because they don't know what to believe or how to believe, or, you know what I'm saying, things
absolutely.
Like that. So
absolutely.
It's really just a matter of creating for others something so they can want more for themselves.
Okay. Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
And then the law of attraction, of course, if you ever listened to or read the book The Secret, it just literally
begins
to bring about those things. So I like The Secret. I like all of those things. It's really dope. Okay, so I didn't turn my Mario Brothers on, and this thing say 1988. So you mean to tell me this was out 30 years ago?
Yeah, we were kids.
Yo, that's crazy. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm distracted now. I definitely want to use this platform to help us to get some good things going here. And that the first thing is to try to help others see what they can do to progress, as well as identifying some of the issues, because it's a lot of different issues. You got the poverty set, you have the mental health awareness and that portion, and then you have the action portion, because people have to put in action with anything that you ask, anything that you tell them to do. They have to be willing to do it, but the thing that frustrates me, I think, the most is that so many people are selling help versus helping people.
I like that. Selling help.
I mean, they are. They literally are selling help, and it's discrediting the ability for people to really grow in it, because they think that if they spend their money on it, then they're going to take it serious. I mean, I have plenty of shit that I've spent money on that I haven't read, I haven't watched, I haven't looked at, because it really doesn't interest me as much as the excitement for having it. So I think that's definitely a huge challenge. There's so many people want to advance and financially
you just put a whole bunch of stuff in perspective just from saying that. Selling help. Like, you just capitalize on help. Like,
but it's the same thing with water. Like, it's no reason we should be having water bills. It's no reason why we should not have food. Like, we are paying to exist on Earth at this point.
Something that was already created for you not to have to work for. It's already here. He already created it for you
to live in abundance of it. Everything.
Right.
Everything is already here.
That's the point
here.
I don't understand. If people could understand that the world that God created is still in existence, it's just underneath the world that they created. That's it. It's still here.
Yeah. Everything
he
is here.
He put everything here for you to live your best life. He already wanted you to live your best life. That's why he put everything here for you to live your best life.
Yeah, but then somebody says, you know what? We can bottle that and charge it and say that you can only get it here.
Right.
You can only get that here. If you don't get it here, then you ain't gonna have it. And that's not true. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it's crazy that we have this society that has created that, like, where you can't even live if you don't have no money. And that goes back to the poverty thing, you know what I'm saying? Like, everything is created. Everything is created. I don't know why. I don't know what I don't know what they thought the world would come to. I don't know if, like, because everything always comes to the light. So the internet really just blew up everybody's, you know what I'm saying, everything. Like, it's nothing that you can really hide that information is not going to be made available about.
Right.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's trying to figure out how to positively affect the world, in the world where if you do, you got to be careful about how you influence the world so that nothing happens to you.
Exactly.
Right.
That's
like a thin little fine line. Yeah, it's a fine line. You can't even really effectively help nobody without being targeted.
That should be the next topic of the next show.
which part?
The part about why are we targeted for enacting change.
Shit. Okay, we're gonna work on that one. You know, I have a whole disclaimer for governmental policy and my influence in that, which instates that reinstates that I don't have a goal or a mission to shut down or destroy the government. I just want to make it more inclusive so that we can effectively live a great life in unity together. As the, you know, like, we can't say one guy, individual, indivisible, with unity just for
indivisible.
All. Indivisible. And we don't have any of that. Like, none of that exists for real. Like, all that's hogwash. Until we can actually make that to be true and honest for every single human being on this planet, then we are selling people a dream that doesn't exist.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think there.
One person at a time, just take it one person at a time. So far, that's what I've been doing.
I think,
just trying to have people find peace.
Yeah, so that is going to be the new model, the goal, the where we stand is finding ways to help people find peace and to bring the world to a better place by helping those that's in charge and in high places to see how much better the world would be and how much even more money could be in the world if everybody had more access to things and things were more leveled, the playing field was more leveled.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, Monica Bowman, it was great having you on the show. We are going to wrap it up now, and hopefully we'll have you back. Of course, when we come back, we're not going to always be talking about this. Speaking Freedom is a very unique show. It is adult-oriented in some ways. However, we like to talk about very relatable topics on all ends. So today we're talking about the culture and making our society better and influence and the things that are impacting our people. But tomorrow we may need to talk about how relationships impact the way we see things in our environment and how we raise our children and what we can do long term. The next week we might need to talk about ways to help people in sexual manners. Like, somebody may be married and be having a difficulty or may not know about this or may not know about that, or somebody may be thinking about getting married and may need information or help or guidance, and it's not always negative, bitter, and all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So Being Freedom desires to bring more of that to the world and not just be one-dimensional, not just conspiracy theorist type of things, but in general, all of the great things that exist in the world, but first by uncovering all of the bad things that can be fixed or a solution can be had.
Sounds like a effective plan.
Hopefully we'll have you back soon. I am going to wrap the show up, and give me 1 second, and I'll talk to you in a minute.
Okay.
We are kings, we are God. But how you get them to believe it when they don't believe in anything? Save some lives, and it's our time. We haven't church in a while. Like God's doctor in these streets, the Holy Ghost used me to set them free. If love is the new religion, the hate is sinning, we stay winning. Just handling God's business, we ain't tripping. No bread to be dipping, disloyalty, get you to me missing.
If you was looking and needed to know, I am the boss and the top general. Favorite position, I say CEO. Ha, 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 ha. If you didn't know.
What Speaking Freedom does online is provide general information for the culture to use to advance and improve. What we do privately is help individualize it for your needs and benefits. Grow with us.
Question advised. We look forward to working with you and assisting with all of your life enhancement goals. Thank you for trusting Good Head Group, Love Gang, and Speaking Freedom. We thank God for you and love you.
Speaking Freedom. Speaking Freedom. Giving you the answer to be free. Be free. Be free. Because we're speaking freedom. And we're live. Online,
we're not KC. This is Speaking Freedom, and we love the world.
My mommy, she's my hero. She's the greatest in the whole world.
This has been a Speaking Freedom production.